You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Play-In Mayhem. Tatum goes nuts. The stage now set for Steph and the King. Who has the edge in tonight's one-game season? Plus, a Hall of Famer had one word for Aaron. Now we have some choice words for him. Don't miss the fireworks. And then, a new Patriot throwing shade at the greatest Patriot of all time? Did that really happen? Yes, it did. And you'll hear it here as we get up with you, starting right now from the Seaport. I'm Greeny. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us, and we are jam-packed. Look who's along for the ride here. Getting up early with us this morning are Ninko, Kimberly, and nothing better than Jeff Saturday on a Wednesday. We'll get to them in a moment. We begin with the performance of the night from the NBA. Oh, what a night it was for Jason Tatum. Play-in game, 7-8, Celtics-Wizards. Early, a lot of Washington. 30 seconds ago in the half. Wizards are up by one, and that guy Russell Westbrook had it going. Alex Len, no. Westbrook, yes, he had 20. Wizards up two at the break. Third quarter, though, belonged to Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart finding Tatum. Tatum finding the bottom of the net. He would knock down five threes. Tatum on fire. Boston a 13-point lead. And Tatum was not done. Not even close. Celtics up 10. Tatum backing down Bradley Beal. Little fadeaway. Yes, 23 for Tatum in the third, the most in any quarter in any game in his career. To the fourth, Celtics up 10, and Jason Tatum would just not let them get caught from behind. Now it's up a dozen as he takes it strong, and then with the Celtics up 15, it's Tatum again. Backing up, Jason Tatum, 50 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Russell Westbrook, meanwhile, bumps and bruises. He'd leave early. Celtics would take care of business. 118-100. They move on to take on Brooklyn in the first round of the playoffs.
I don't really get caught up in, you know, those who think I am a superstar and those that don't. You know, what does that really mean? I know that my teammates, you know, I've earned their respect. I've earned the respect of the guys that I play against.
You know, it didn't matter who was in front of them, you know, and that's been something that I've been trying to tell his for years. You know, he's a special talent, man. You know, I've been saying this since he was in diapers, so it doesn't surprise me.
So, with Tatum's huge performance last night, the Celtics get the right to play Brooklyn in round one. However, be careful what you wish for. You see the numbers there. Boston 0-3 against the Nets, tied for their worst record against any team. They lost those games by an average of 15 points per. And Jay Will is here, KJZ, ESPN Radio, every weekday morning. Okay, so here's the deal, and I heard you guys talking about this morning on the radio. Superstars can elevate teams to another level. Can Jason Tatum do that?
He had 50 last night. Look, he's right in between a star and a superstar, Greeny. He's a budding superstar. He will be the MVP of the league one day. I think what we're seeing is Jason Tatum finally having his team. His team. That's one hell of a year to have his team. Mm-hmm. He had COVID this year, injuries to Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, Tristan Thompson, Robert Williams. All the list, laundry list goes on. But I think this is his team, and I think this is a growing opportunity for him, especially going into that first round series against the Nets.
So let's talk about that. Can he and his team make this difficult for the three superstars? What is that?
It's just some Kyrie Irving sage. Just some sage. This house is clear. Look, this is a big time matchup. Kyrie made a comment a couple years ago that he wanted to go against the likes of a Kemba Walker. Think about the history that Kyrie has had with Brad Stevens, with Danny Ainge, with the Boston Celtics, his relationship with Jason Tatum. Both these guys are Duke guys, great familiarity, but no Jaylen Brown. It's going to be a huge test for Kemba Walker. When they come out and Kemba Walker is Kemba Walker, they are a dangerous team. Don't think they have enough firepower to stop the Brooklyn Nets, but still, those storylines are going to be what we love.
So let me ask you the question this way before I turn to tonight. Will there be any moment in time in which we think to ourselves, the Celtics have a real chance to win this series?
No. No, I do. I think the Celtics can win a couple of games. Yes, I do.
But at no point will we think to ourselves. At no point will you be in here and I'll say to you, "Oh my goodness, the Nets are in trouble."
How about this? If we're saying the Nets are in trouble and we look at how depleted this team is for the mm-hmm. Boston Celtics, then that's a problem.
Okay,
that's a problem for the Nets.
I'm with you on that. Now let's get to tonight, the main event. Obviously, yes. Everybody waiting. LeBron and Steph. What does Steph Curry have to do? Give me a number that Steph Curry has to reach tonight for the Warriors to be able to beat the Lakers.
He has to be 40-plus. I mean, he has to bring a Steph Curry-like experience. Like, this is why he's the best ticket in basketball for these type of moments. And he knows it's coming. But guys like Andrew Wiggins, other guys, and he's been scoring as well, Jordan Poole, they need to step up, because what's going to happen is between Alex Caruso, between, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, they're going to run people at him constantly. He's going to see a lot of double teams. And whoever he's guarding defensively, they're going to attack him to try to take his legs away from the offensive end. So other guys do need to step up, but you need a monumental performance from Steph.
So we'll make this the first of what will be many predictions this morning. Who wins the game tonight?
LeBron James and the Lakers win. They get the 7th seed. I think then the Golden State Warriors then get the 8th seed.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see what winds up happening again. Jay Williams, the Jay of KJZ, weekday mornings on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
There it is again.
Wait for it.
Good hands.
The dramatic pause. Thank you, Jay. All right. Speaking of drama, we've had plenty of that this offseason involving quarterbacks. How about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Reports of him being frustrated with his lack of protection, even reports of teams he'd be willing to be traded to. Then, of course, you were well aware of Deshaun Watson requesting a trade from the Texans. Signed a 4-year, $156 million contract extension in September. Now there are a whole host of other issues that he's dealing with, of course. And now there are the rumors that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay, with reports of there being a chasm between management and the 2020 NFL MVP. All this led to the Packers' former GM Ron Wolf saying this.
Today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterbacks. You know, in my time, they're hired to play the position, quarterback. These guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. A lot of divas playing in that league right now. And the thing that I fail to understand is all these guys that are doing this have long-term deals.
He says Aaron Rodgers is a diva. Once again, we welcome Rob Ninkovich, Kimberly Martin, and I see Jeff Saturday shaking his head. Why, Jeff?
Hey, listen, I would like to tell you that Ron Wolf is high, but I'm too frustrated to even have fun with this, right? Like, I don't even understand the mentality of what he's saying. Like, if you look at Russell Wilson, you're telling me he's a diva? He had no offensive line. He takes a beating on his body for 2 years, 3 years. He's making all these plays. His name's in the MVP conversation almost year in and year out. And that's a diva because the team's not doing what he feels like it needs to do to go win. Aaron Rodgers, the guy just has an MVP season. After you move up to draft a quarterback for the first time to move up for an offensive player, I think, in 10-plus years. Like, tell me what's diva about wanting to win. That's the part that frustrates me. These guys want to win games. They want to win championships. They understand what it takes to get it done. And it is a team mentality. I don't care if you're the GM, the head coach, the offensive coordinator. The quarterback deals with each and every one of those guys more than anyone else on the team, and they should, because what you're asking them to do in today's NFL is completely different than what Ron Wolf is talking about. And I'll be honest, I don't think any of those guys have asked for anything that's out of the ordinary. If you went to work every day and felt like your employer wasn't giving you the best opportunity to win, I would sure hope you have enough guts to say, hey, this is what I can do to make us better. Now, they may not be able to do it. It may not be able to work out that way, but at least there's a conversation. When you trade up without telling your guy and don't expect it to upset him or get him frustrated, I don't know what player, I don't care what position you play. That's not diva. That's just having a stake in the game and caring about your organization and your team.
You know, Jeff, I mean, you played with Peyton Manning all those years in Indianapolis, and he feels like a good parallel here. I mean, to what degree did he have, in your perception, some say over the things that were going on with the organization?
Yeah, I mean, think about it, Greeny. They drafted Reggie Wayne after we had Marv. They drafted Dallas Clark in the first round at tight end. You don't think they asked him, hey, what do we need to make our offense better? And now did he go back and find Dallas Clark in the draft you know, whatever that looked like. No, but at the end of the day, he had enough say in the organization with Bill Polian, who's a Hall of Famer, to give him the ingredients to make it work. That's what it is. It's a team effort. They need to have it. Everybody needs to have an opinion or at least some say in it. That doesn't mean it always goes your way, but if you don't think Peyton Manning, for the 14 years I played with him, got some say in the way the organization was run, you've lost your mind. That goes to personnel, to play calling, you name it, because when he's out there on Sunday and Monday, he's the one producing. Like, don't get it twisted. We need each and every guy, but everybody has to feel like they have a stake and some kind of ability to make change with the team.
Kimberly, what did you hear there when Ron Wolf was talking?
Listening to it again, Ron Wolf to me just sounded like old man yelling at the cloud, like, oh, these QBs just want to be more than QBs. But I'll be honest, his comments really ticked me off because I've heard that sort of sentiment among some front office people that I've talked to. You know, when I played the game, we didn't care about who was drafted to take our spot or not. We were happy to be there. And my thought is always like, okay, who cares? Like, really, who cares what the game used to be like for you? The game is completely different. We don't have leather helmets. Like, the game is different. And we want players to understand that it's a business when their contracts are not held up, right? That they're not honored. But we get mad when players want to treat it like a business and have more ownership. Like, that's not right to me.
What do you think, Rob Ninkovich, as you heard all of this? You're one who's lived through this forever. What do you make of it?
Mm-hmm. All kids these days, they're just so different than when they were back in the olden days. You know, for me, when I look at the quarterback position, are they treated differently? Yes, of course. Should they be treated differently? Yes, of course, because they're the quarterbacks. They
exactly.
win or they lose you football games. They win or lose mm-hmm. games for you. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, these guys that are called divas. No, I don't think that they're divas at all. I think they just want to win. And at the end of the day, that's where we're all measured upon. Are we winning or are we losing? And they, especially Aaron Rodgers, he's sick of losing. He's sick of not being in Super Bowls. And I played with the best quarterback of all time. Guess what? He had some say-so on what was going down. So it, just like any great quarterback, any competitor, they want to be put in the best possible position to win. Because at the end of the day, when they look back, somebody looks back at their career, they're going to look at wins and losses.
I'm going to hold this thought for 1 second because I want to come back to this right after a quick break because I think there's one more thing that needs to be said about what Ron Wolf's comments were. We will say that in just a moment. And then we will get to this. A new Patriot is throwing shade at the greatest Patriot of all time. Say it ain't so. You'll hear what someone had to say about Tom Brady as we continue. Plus, Steph needs to cook tonight. How many will be required for Curry to have a chance to knock off the King? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you on a Wednesday on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And we are back with more on the continued fallout from former Packer GM Ron Wolf calling players like Aaron Rodgers divas. Here was Keyshawn Johnson yesterday on KJZ with his thoughts.
Brett Favre with two lockers wasn't a diva when he played for Ron Wolf.
Get him.
I mean, like, come on, man. You need to stop, man. Quarterbacks are some of the most selfish dudes there ever is in the National Football League at a position. They're diva. Two lockers, car parked in certain places. The position now is voicing their opinion at that position, unlike other positions in the past. Let's not act like they're divas that all of a sudden they've been divas.
I thought that was a very interesting point to make. Jeff Saturday is an offensive lineman. I see the smile on your face. What do you think?
I love that Keyshawn is saying it. And the further you get away from the ball, the more diva they are, man. Are you kidding me? Like, that is my favorite part about this thing. Yeah, they're all divas. They all play 7-on-7. They play a different game than the rest of us do, man. Get over it. They've always been that way.
But Kimberly, I saw the look on your face, and I wanted to – there's a quote from a great – if I'm getting the eye roll this early, then I have to just go right to you. Go ahead. Why are we rolling the eyes this early?
So throw me the damn ball is thinks quarterbacks are divas. I just feel like, come on, wide receivers of all the guys, Key, we love you, but come on now. It's crazy.
And it does, but something you said a moment ago made me think of a great line from a great football movie called North Dallas 40, in which one of the lead characters says about the owner, he says, every time I want to say it's a game, you say it's a business. And every time I want to say it's a business, you say it's a game. And that's what I thought of when I heard Ron Wolf talking here, Rob Ninkovich, that it's a game up until they want it to be a business and vice versa.
Yep.
And these days, the players are just saying, you know what? I'm going to have some say in making those rules as well. Ninko, what do you think?
Well, I think that they should, because at the end of the day, like I said earlier, it's about winning. And you know, look, I played in the trenches. Jeff knows this. He was in the front of the trenches, too, playing center. D linemen and linebackers look at everybody else's divas. I mean, come on. If you catch the football, if you're throwing the football, if you're punting the football, if you're kicking the football, you're a diva. Come on now. I mean, put your hand in the dirt. Put your hand in the dirt and go wrestle a big man and see if you can, diva your way out of that one. That ain't going to happen. So for me,
right.
It doesn't
That's
matter.
Right.
But, yeah, I understand, you know, that there's a will to want to win. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem if you want to go win football. That's the name of the game, win.
All right, let me leave this here for the moment, that's but right. We will have plenty more on it as we go. But I gave you the performance of the night earlier from the NBA. Did you see what happened in baseball last night? It happened again. Tigers, Mariners, Spencer Turnbull doing the pitching. Had never thrown a complete game in his career until last night. We pick it up in the ninth. He's got a no-hitter in the ninth at a 5-0 lead. That's Sam Haggerty swinging. We're one out away. Oh, excuse me, that's one down, so we're two outs away. This is Jared Kelnick with a runner on. A double play is a no-hitter. Oh, no, we don't get it. So now we got two outs. Now we got Mitch Haniger coming to the plate for the end on an 0-2 count. And this one's for history. And there it is. The fifth no-hitter of the season in the majors this year. Tigers win it 5-0. Mariners actually no-hit in Seattle for the second time this season. John Means did it to them there as well. But this is the continuation of what can only be described as a trend. The number of no-hitters, extraordinary. Second time in history, there have been five no-hitters before June. The other time was 1917. Woodrow Wilson was the president back then. Buster Olney was actually a young beat reporter back at that time. So, Buster, let's get into this here. We've got the five no-hitters. Plus, in my opinion, it should be six because Madison Bumgarner threw a seven-inning no-hitter in a game that was only scheduled for seven innings. One way or another, how do you read this for Major League Baseball, all of these no-hitters?
Well, in this moment, it's great. I mean, for Spencer Turnbull, the pride of Alabama, 28 years old, what a great moment for him. But just his home runs in the 90s were a symptom of a larger issue for baseball, and at that time it was steroids. All of these no-hitters are a sign of a major problem for baseball, and that is the absolute domination of pitching. We are seeing record low batting averages, record high strikeout rates, and all these no-hitters, five this year, the record in any season is eight. And the general manager told me at the beginning of April that we might see 15 to 20 this year. It looks like he could be dead on.
Okay, we will see. Yeah, we've been talking about that on the radio show for a while now. They're going to set that record this year and maybe run away with it. Meanwhile, the thing everyone in baseball is talking about, I want to get your perspective on. Let's go back to Monday night. It was the Twins and the White Sox. The White Sox had an 11-run lead in the ninth inning when Yermin Mercedes hit a 3-0 pitch with two outs in the ninth with a Twins position player doing the pitching. That was the pitch. It was 47 miles an hour. Swinging it on a 3-0 pitch with an 11-run lead in the ninth inning. Yesterday, Mercedes' own manager, Tony La Russa, made no secret of how he felt.
Big mistake. I was upset because that's not a time to swing 3-0. And, as you know, I happened to look over there, and I know the Twins knew that I was upset. With that kind of lead, that's just, it's not the order. That's just sportsmanship, respect for the game, respect for your opponent. There'll be a consequence that he has to endure here within our family. But, you know, it won't happen again because he's not going to do that again.
All right, so that's his own manager criticizing him. In the meantime, a pitcher from an entirely other team, Trevor Bauer, was defending him. He tweeted, "Dear hitters, if you hit a 3-0 homer off me, I will not consider it a crime. Dear people who are still mad about a hitter hitting, kindly get out of the game. Can't believe we're still talking about 3-0 swings. If you don't like it, managers or pitchers, just be better." So that's what those guys think. Then last night, the White Sox and Twins played again, and predictably, Tyler Duffy threw a fastball behind Mercedes. It hit him. Duffy got thrown out. So did the manager, Rocco Baldelli. So all of the kerfuffle that ensues. Buster Olney, that's the setup. What's the take?
Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, is part of three generations of Boones, and he told me a couple of years ago, you know, I consider myself to be old school, but when you really drill down on it, a lot of it's really stupid. Think about what the old school is advocating here. It's okay to quit trying to compete in a game, to stick a position player in a game, have him throw 47 miles per hour meatballs, and at the same time, if the other team swings on counts you don't like, it's also okay to try to drill the opposing hitters with fastball. It's ridiculous, and the thinking among players has changed. When Tony La Russa took over as the White Sox manager after a decade of being away from managing in spring training, he said, you know what, I'm going to talk to my players. I'm going to get their perspective. I'm going to learn from them. I think that's what he needs to do again. Go talk to Tim Anderson, one of his players, who clearly was upset with what the Twins did last night.
So you have no issue with Mercedes going all the way back to the beginning. You have no issue with him swinging on a 3-0 pitch in the ninth inning, an 11-run lead at a 47-mile-an-hour pitch.
Absolutely not. As Alex Wood tweeted out last night, the pitcher for the Giants, look, if you put a position player in the game, all bets are off. That was the decision the Twins made that was best for themselves, and if Mercedes wants to swing hard, go for it.
Okay. That's something you and I are going to have to debate. We'll do that on radio a little bit later today. The great Buster Olney, Robert Stanberry Olney III, thanks for getting up with us here. Meanwhile, we are just getting rolling. Back to football we will go. Coming up, a new Patriot throwing shade at the greatest Patriot of all time. Did that really happen? Yes, it did, and you will hear it coming up. And you will hear this, a little sneaky hembo time, and this one's going to be for Tim Legler. Who was the only active player to lead the NBA in scoring and miss the playoffs in the same season? That's the question. The answer's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and that's JT on the range. Justin Thomas, the 2017 PGA champion, getting set to try and win another major this week at Kiawah, and you will see all the action Thursday and Friday of rounds 1 and 2 of the year's second major right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, here's Tim Legler, who's ready to go head-to-head with Hembo. Steph Curry could wind up missing the playoffs this year. With that in mind, Legs, who's the only active player to lead the NBA in scoring and miss the playoffs in the same season?
Well, I was trying to think of the guys, Greeny, that are playing that led the league in scoring at some point. I'm not sure if this guy missed the playoffs in that year, but is it Carmelo Anthony?
Oh, it's a good guess, but it's not right. The answer is Russell Westbrook, who led the league in scoring in 2015, and the Thunder missed the playoffs. That was a year in which KD played only 27 games. Chalk that one up for Hembo. Meanwhile, let's do some over-unders on the big game tonight. Legs, here we go. The over-under is 5.5 on Steph Curry threes for tonight. Which way are you going?
I'm definitely taking the over. Look, it might take him a big number of attempts to get to that because I think the Lakers' defense is really going to extend. But he might take 15 to 20 threes in this game, so he'll definitely make more than 5.5.
All right, let's talk about LeBron next. Combined total points, rebounds, and assists at 42.5 for King James. Which way are you going?
I'm going to take the under. I actually think LeBron is going to be maybe a little bit more in a playmaking mindset. And they've got a lot of guys, I think, on Golden State that could do a pretty decent job on him initially as a scorer. So I think LeBron is going to play a little bit more of a game, of a power game, and not as many field goal attempts. I think the scoring will be down, so I think I'll take the under on that.
Fair enough. And then finally, how about scoring for Steph? 36.5 points. Over, under?
I'm going to take the under. He'll be somewhere probably right around 30. But again, the Lakers, with their length, I think it's going to be a little bit different look for Steph Curry in this game. And obviously, this is the focus for the Lakers. If you allow Steph Curry to go for 40-plus against you and lose this game, there's no excuse because he is the sole target, really, that you need to take out. I'll take the under on 36.5.
All right, fair enough. And the Lakers are certainly well aware of that. Let me play you a little bit of this. This is how they are planning to stop Steph Curry tonight.
You know, we know who the head of the snake is, Steph. You know, we got to do our best to contain him. It's going to be a team effort, not just all the pressure on the guards. We got to make sure we keep an eye on them and stay locked in on them at all times.
We anticipate they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Steph. Multiple defenders, you know, different matchups, some blitzes, some shadowing, that type of stuff. We've kind of seen everything. Steph has seen everything.
So, look, everyone has been trying to do that to Steph Curry the entire second half of the season and couldn't do it. So let me put it to you from the other side. What do you believe Steph Curry needs to do tonight for the Warriors to win?
Well, look, Steph Curry requires more communication defensively to play against than any player who's ever played in the NBA. And so I think Steph Curry is going to force that communication by being as active as we've ever seen him. And that's saying a lot because every night when you watch Steph Curry, he puts on a clinic with moving without the basketball. It's going to be even more important in this one, Greeny, because the Lakers obviously are going to try to be on point with their switches, with their hedges, with their shows, with their jump outs, everything that you need to do with their cross matches, picking up in transition. So Steph Curry has to be relentless with his off-the-ball movement, and what that typically does, it leads to really good shots for other people. The question is, are those role players going to be able to step up and make enough of them to make the Lakers have to adjust? And I'm talking about guys like Andrew Wiggins, who might need a 25-point game in this one. Jordan Poole, who has been sensational for them. Maybe a Kent Bazemore. You're going to need a lot of supplemental scoring from your role players because I think Steph is going to have his track shoes on from jump street, and that's what it's going to take against a Lakers team completely honed in on trying to slow him down, particularly at the start of the game. They don't want him to get off in the first quarter.
For sure. And so we'll see if Steph can put up 30 or 40. He's got a long way to go to match Jason Tatum. We opened the show this morning by showing his 50 points last night as Boston advanced, knocking off the Wizards. So my question to you here, Legs, is, are the Celtics a legit threat to Brooklyn in the first round?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think they are. As great as Jason Tatum is, it's not going to be enough. Without Jaylen Brown and having another all-star forward out there that can give you 20 to 30 every single night, I don't know how you have enough firepower if you're the Boston Celtics to be able to deal with what the Nets are going to throw at them or any other team for that matter. Jason Tatum, is no doubt in my mind, is going to have a good series. He's going to score. Some nights will probably be more efficient than others. Kemba Walker has to be sensational, not just good like he was last night. Kemba Walker has to play like the Kemba Walker in Charlotte that was getting you 25 a night in order for the Celtics to make this a series. I think they can win a game and be in a couple of others. But at the end of the day, Greeny, I just don't know how Boston has enough defensively to slow those guys down. And then certainly, how do you have enough offensively to match them bucket for bucket without Jaylen Brown? It just seems too tall of an order for me. Jason Tatum is going to need to be the best player in the series for them to have to compete. And when you're going up against three Hall of Famers, that's a lot to ask, because you know each night one of those guys is going to go off. So I just think it's a very difficult task no matter who got the Nets.
All right, stay close by, Timmy Legs. We'll get more from you a little bit later as we continue to look ahead to tonight's games, our first ever NBA play-in tournament games on ESPN, and we're looking forward to it. It starts with the Grizzlies and the Spurs in the West. That's the 9-10 game, and then the showdown that everyone's waiting for. It's Steph, it's LeBron, it's the Warriors and the Lakers. All the action coming your way tonight. It begins with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center at 7 Eastern Time. Back to the NFL and the most anticipated game of the 2021 season, Week 4, Foxborough. Reigning Super Bowl champ Tom Brady returning to New England to face his former team. Yesterday, one of the newest Patriots, Matthew Judon, was asked which quarterback is the toughest to sack in the NFL, and he said, listen to this, Tom Brady is the toughest just because he intentionally grounds the ball every time. Every time I'm about to get a sack on him, he throws the ball away. So is he throwing shade at Tom Brady there? Jeff, Saturday, why are you laughing?
Oh, my God. They always complain, Greeny. Defensive linemen are always upset because the quarterback gets rid of the ball. What's he supposed to do? Take a sack? Get hit in the back? Last time I checked, quarterbacks can't help you laid on the ground. They better throw that thing away. I mean, the way I look at it, Greeny, defensive linemen only play 15 snaps a game. They don't even have to run. They don't even have to play the run anymore. Just rush the passer. Give me a break, dude. All complaining. Go sack them. Let that 1-2-3 throw it away is the motto of every good quarterback. Save yourself. You're better for us later in the game. Don't worry about what the defensive linemen say. Just make me happy. Make them go chase the ball.
Look at that legendary footage of Jeff Saturday. By the way, that's, you should know that's how slow he was. That's not even slowed down. That's how slowly Saturday moved when he was playing. Ninko, so wait a minute. You got to defend your side of the ball here. He's basically suggesting all you guys just whine that the quarterback throws it away.
Look, I'm still mad at the intentional grounding that some of these quarterbacks. I almost had a sack. I'm still upset. I think back to I almost had a sack against Brett Favre, the one guy that I wanted to sack in my career. I was close. Oh, whoa, you can't block me. And then he intentionally grounds the ball. Guess what? It goes down as intentional grounding. They take away your sack. You don't go into any statistics on a sack. So for me, of course, you go against a good quarterback, it's going to be upsetting. They'll actually throw the ball away, get an intentional grounding, and they might wink at you as well because they know they took away a sack from you. And what's the penalty going to do to them? They don't care. They'll just get it back on a next third and long. They'll be all right.
You know what the stat is? The stat is the broken heart stat that every defensive lineman feels when that quarterback drops it off. But I'm going to tell you, offensive linemen, we love it because all it does is frustrate those D linemen. Just get them upset. Get them out of their game. Make them think about it. Make them think about the quarterback, not us blocking them. I absolutely love it. He's already in Judon's head. They hadn't even played yet. How sweet is that?
All right, Kimberly, let's jump in the middle of this. What do you, let's any part of this that you like, but in particular, how about the new Patriot taking what sounds like a little veiled shot at the greatest Patriot of them all?
Yeah, it's said in jest, and it's sort of like a backhanded compliment in a way. I don't like it. I feel like in the year 2021 of our Lord, Tom Brady slander will not be tolerated. Did Papa Brady not already guarantee that the Patriots are going to lose mightily to the Bucks? Like, why would you even say anything about Tom Brady at this stage of his career? Just nobody say anything about Brady because he remembers everything. And while this is like a cute like comment, you know, like Jeff's right. Like Matthew Judon's already thinking about Brady, which is exactly what Tom Brady likes.
That's a really good point. And Ninko, you played with Brady all those years. So you tell me right now, when he throws a touchdown in that game, and he will he say something to Judon?
Have we ever seen Tom get fired up in the past? Of course we see him get fired up. He's going to be, listen, he's going to be motivated for this football game. I can guarantee you that. And these ticket prices in Foxborough are going to be higher than the Super Bowl. Trust me, everyone wants to see this game. It's going to be exciting. And I can guarantee if Tom Brady throws a touchdown pass, he might have a little choice words for everybody on that defense who he's going against.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Jeff, I'll give you the final word here. They're saying that Judon, that Brady's in Judon's head already. Do you buy that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying. He's already making him think about it. Here's the thing, though, that Nate just brought up that I love. Think about how is Bill Belichick going to script against Tom Brady? I mean, he's seen him for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see the defense they play against him. I can't wait to see what they take away. You know, Belichick used to always make a point, make the third option beat you. Who's going to be the third option? What are they going to do to Brady? I pay for the ticket. This is going to be a fun game to watch. You got two guys that know each other extremely well. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see it.
Here's the hilarious part. The third option on that team, realistically, is Rob Gronkowski, who also has a little history with Belichick and the Patriots. All right, we'll take a short break on that thought. Speaking of quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes both won MVP awards in their second years. I'll tell you, I think history might repeat itself this season, and I'll tell you where right after this. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and we have great news for fans of the Bengals. According to Joe Burrow's doctor, the second-year quarterback is on track to start Cincinnati's regular season opener against the Vikings September 12th. He underwent reconstructive knee surgery in December after tearing the ACL and MCL and suffering other structural damage in a game against Washington last year. But that's not the second-year quarterback I want to talk about. I'm going to do a little version of Change My Mind here. So we know that we went through a little period there where we had second-year NFL quarterbacks winning the MVP award. We saw it first with Patrick Mahomes, then with Lamar Jackson. I would like to suggest here, and I will start Kimberly Martin with you, that with as good as he was last season and almost no reason to be as ready as he looked, now a full offseason and all the additions his team has made, I would suggest that Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers is a sneaky, excellent pick to be this coming season's NFL MVP. Kimberly, are you interested in changing my mind?
Do I have to change your mind? Or can
no, you
I
don't.
Actually
you can agree with me, and that'd be even more fun.
Could I agree with your genius, Greeny? I actually kind of like this. You know why? Because I know that it's a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, and that could, you know, mess up his development a little bit. But what we saw from Justin Herbert last year was just a taste of how good he can be. I think the coaching staff is better. The roster is better. Their O-line is better. I mean, that kid, some of the gutsy plays he made when the pocket's breaking down. Greeny, if you like it, I love it. I'm really on board with just Justin Herbert pick, and I'm shocked that we are in agreement right now.
Let's go. I mean, now I feel all the better about this. And Jeff Saturday, listen, I mean, the additions they've made, they draft the offensive tackle in round one in Rashawn Slater. They also signed two guards and a center to take care of the interior of that offensive line. So that should be markedly better this year.
No, there's no doubt. Listen, there's nobody who can change your mind. Tom Telesco, their general manager, has done a fantastic job of building this roster from inside out. Listen, I played with Peyton Manning for all those years. Tom Telesco was with us with Bill Polian. He understands the internal portion of the pocket is so vital, especially for a young quarterback. He was the most pressured quarterback. I think they were 31st in the league in pass protection. They got better, and they draft Slater. This is a great pick by you. They understand understand how to develop quarterbacks. Tom Telesco went all in. He understands they already had the receivers they need. Go fix the O-line. Those guys stay healthy. Herbert has a great chance to get that MVP. As well as he played last year under duress, imagine him with time to develop and look down the field. This kid could be special.
I am 2-for-2, and Hembo told me earlier that Justin Herbert is 20-to-1 to win MVP this year, so that could be very tasty. Rob Ninkovich, what do you think? Does anyone, you're the last hope here, do you want to try and change my mind?
Greeny, the last time you went 3-for-3 was T-ball, and you're about to do it again. So let's go. I honestly think, think about it this way. Is there a receiver, an all-pro receiver, Pro Bowl receiver out there that could possibly be traded to the Chargers and give him even more firepower at that quarterback position, like maybe Julio? That would be a tremendous acquisition for the Chargers. And when I think about, you know, the second year, your rookie year is kind of like just you don't know what to expect. And when you go into your second year after having a very successful rookie year, I think that not only will he surpass people's expectations, Greeny, I agree with you. He will be in the running for MVP if he can, number one, stay healthy. That offensive line protects him, just like Jeff said, from the inside out. Ain't no better way to get to the quarterback from inside move, and Jeff knows that. So for me, I think there's definitely potential there for him to be the MVP this year. We've seen it with second-year players in the past. So guess what? It won't be a surprise to me. And Greeny, congratulations for going 3-for-3.
Okay, fair enough. Actually, you're wrong. I never went 3-for-3 in T-ball. In fact, once I struck out. But that was a very good performance there. I like it. Write it down and remember where you heard it. Justin Herbert for NFL MVP. Meanwhile, we turn our attention to this major championship coming up this week, and this is a look at a man who has been struggling and trying to get it back on track. That's Ricky Fowler, looking to win his first ever major, as he will be on the course there at the Ocean Course at Kiawah this week. Remember, our coverage is coming your way Thursday and Friday here on ESPN of the year's second major. And you take a look at some of the odds now from our friends at Caesars Sportsbook to win the PGA. Right now, Rory McIlroy is the favorite, followed by Jon Rahm, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas. And here is the one, the only, Curtis Strange, who joins us live here this morning. A pleasure to see you. And Rory, of course, won this championship on this course 9 years ago. So was that the direction you look, or if you were to pick a favorite right now for me, Curtis, who would you be thinking about?
Well, to forget about Rory for a minute, I like Justin Thomas. He's playing well. He flights the ball well. He controls everything. He's a wonderful player, has the length, all the above. But Rory McIlroy I like this week, because he won 2 weeks ago. He hasn't been playing his best golf, as we know, for the last 8, 10, or 12 months. But winning 2 weeks ago was huge for him and his confidence. And he comes back here where he's won before. That's a good thing.
So let's talk. Let's go back now to the weather. You mentioned the way Justin Thomas flights the ball. I want everyone to understand just how much of a factor wind can be on this golf course and is expected to be this week, and what that will mean for the outcome, Curtis.
Greeny, it's a game played outdoors, and sometimes you get more than you expect and more than you can handle. Yesterday, it blew 20 to 25, gusting maybe more than that, almost unplayable. It's supposed to blow these next Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. We just don't know the velocity yet, but if it blows like it did yesterday, even par, over par, it will be a battle. It will be a marathon. It will be tough. So players are trying to prepare for that right now, but it's tough to prepare for conditions just like that.
Well, so let's teach the audience a little something here. What does that mean? If you know it's going to be that kind of windy and you're going in to try and win this championship, what do you have to do? What are you thinking about?
Well, when I say flighting the ball, you know, these guys hit it so long and so good now, but they hit it long because they shoot it straight up in the air. That's the last thing you want to do on the wind. You want to keep the ball down. Keeping the ball down drives it more like a bullet. It keeps spin off the ball. You control the ball more the lower you hit it. And once it gets on the ground, that's a good thing. Up in the air this week is no good. So guys who can flight the ball, Justin Thomas can flight the ball down really well. Jordan Spieth can do that. Rory can do that to a certain degree because he's hit only so much because he hits it so hard and shoots it up in the air. Dustin Johnson is another player because he's so strong, can flight the ball. But you're going to see a lot of shots this week where the ball goes back in the stance. They kind of pound down on top of it, and it comes out like a bullet. It's going to be interesting because you're going to see shots that they ordinarily don't have to hit.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because they're doing this on a course that is setting a new record for length. It's over 7,800 yards, so we will see. Curtis, yeah. I can't wait to watch the coverage there. Enjoy it. Stay out of the wind as best you can. And again, we've got it all coming your way Thursday and Friday here on ESPN. The 103rd PGA Championship, Thursday 1 Eastern is when it begins from Kiawah. First round coverage begins 7 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus, as a matter of fact. And you can get ESPN Plus by going to ESPNplus.com or downloading the ESPN app. All right, back to more baseball. Let's run the bases. A day after getting hit in the face with a fastball, Kevin Pillar brought out the lineup card for the Mets. He's now on the injured list. In the ninth inning, meanwhile, Tomas Nido hit a game-winning solo home run, and the Mets got the win, beating the Braves by a score of 4-3. Elsewhere, the Angels began life without Mike Trout with a loss to Cleveland, despite getting this, a major league leading 14th home run from Shohei Ohtani. He has now homered in three straight games for the third time in his career. Trout is out 6 to 8 weeks at least with a strained calf. And then in L.A., Gavin Lux hit his first career grand slam as the Dodgers cruise past Arizona 9-1. Lux has moved over to shortstop to replace the injured Corey Seager. It's the Dodgers' sixth win in their last seven games. Coming up, Jason Tatum's explosive night. Can the Celtics actually upset the Nets? And what does Steph need to do for the Warriors to win tonight? We're talking about it right after this.